Am I mistaken, didn't Greg say he wasn't gonna be able to?
Yeah, he was gonna remote in, but he's tied up anyway, so he'll send the audio after.
Yeah.
Let's keep rolling here, that's 6 o'clock, so. Okay, and now I have 6 o'clock, so this is a special session of council this evening. So I will now call this session to order this day, March 20th, 2026, roll call.
Doug McCauley.
Here.
Chris Shea.
Here.
Cody Browning.
Here.
Terry Meek.
Here.
Greg McMaster.
He is absent. Okay, I will now just turn this over to Justin and you take it from there.
All right, I mean, I guess before we kick it off with John from Safeville, I mean, the idea is, I'm surprised you've gotten a few calls. I mean, we've been talking about this off and on forever in some form of building codes. Obviously went through the county iteration discussion and, you know, just the way it goes, but things we're running into, some of the better developers are for it, they're in favor of it. You know, we haven't heard actual any opposition that I know of to anything of the sort. We'll see, the Sandusky County Economic Development did their housing survey, which I think you all got a copy of. One was part of enticing better developers and different developers even to the area. I know they're gonna be having a housing advisory meeting in April 15th, I think, to discuss even how do we get more going on. I figured this was part of that discussion of kind of setting the bar, and, you know, things are gonna be coming, getting them checked out, and I think it's better for the people overall. And I know John can kind of allude more in the things you've seen in times and the different development you've worked with on how even in counties and cities that did not have code, some developers will just contract with you to come in and inspect anyway. I mean, so I think it's a good thing overall. I don't think the goal is to go out and police every faucet in everyone's home, especially right off the rip. But, you know, this is getting some stuff in place that makes sense and getting it kicked off and going to protect people from, I mean, everybody can swing a hammer nowadays, and it's led to, we get more calls of people going, well, what do I do? I got screwed over. I mean, so that's what part of this is to add protections in place and, you know, at least have that mechanism. So I guess, in a nutshell, that's my ramblings. I'll turn it over to John to kind of give his little.
Okay. So first of all, talk a little bit about the residential code, why you want to enforce it, and what it does for you, and what it does for your constituents, and how contractors typically feel, because there's always some that are against any oversight. But in Ohio, there are counties, cities, villages that do not enforce the residential code because it is not required by legislation that you have to enforce it. However, if you have anything other than zoning, you have to enforce it the same border to border, north to south, east to west, and you cannot amend it, you cannot take away from it. So the residential code that the state of Ohio is on right now is the 2019 Residential Code of Ohio. And a lot of people say ORC, thinking that's Ohio Residential Code, but no, it's the RCO. And it has, of course, reference standards, that sort of thing. There are exceptions in the code that you don't have to enforce that are optional, and I'll go over those with you if you would set up a department. I would tell you this is an option, and I'll give you a couple examples. Windows, doors, siding, driveways, sidewalks, those kind of things are an option. You can say yes or no, that you want people to get a permit and inspection for it. Most communities that adopt the residential code say yes, for the simple fact that if you've got oversight, you've got oversight, and sometimes those are the very ones that something goes wrong on, you know. So they don't put the ice guard on the roof, or they don't put the siding on right, or they don't do the windows correct, you know, et cetera. So, or the concrete, they pour a 2-inch sidewalk, you know, and it's going to break up with the first freeze and thaw. So, but there are a few things that are an option that do not have to be enforced. But otherwise, the code does say what has to be enforced, whether it's a new hot water heater, new furnace, new AC, you know, et cetera. The one thing that Justin alluded to is that, like in Lorain County is a perfect example. Pulte, Ryan, Dries build hundreds of homes there a year, especially like in Columbia Station area and outside the Grafton area where it's not in Grafton. And years ago, probably 7, 8, 10 years ago, they called me and said, our company is not comfortable not having oversight of our subs and not having a certificate of occupancy and all this. So I called the state of Ohio, the Board of Building Standards, and I asked for their legal opinion. And they said private provider, which is what that's called, is allowed in Ohio, that any contractor where there is no authority having jurisdiction, so there's not the city of Clyde having a building department, can outsource and get the inspections, the plan review, the certificate of occupancy for insurance and liability. And so we have quite a few builders that do that, like in Lorain County. We don't really have them over here in Sandusky County. But that's because Pulte and Ryan probably aren't over here right now, you know. So so that is something that builders like oversight, not all, because of the liability. I was telling Justin, I have testified in court multiple times across the last, I've been on this side since 98, so 28 years now. And many times I've been in court where it's a homeowner versus the contractor. And one of the first things that the attorney for the homeowner, and sometimes the magistrate or judge that's in charge, will ask. They'll look at you and they'll say, did you get a permit and inspections? And if they didn't, black mark already. But I've been in cases like this where they say, well, we don't have a building department. And the judge or magistrate or attorney will say, but you could have, you know, contracted with another thing. And it's already for the homeowner, even if the homeowner is somebody just screaming and squealing because they don't want to pay the final bill. So it's really good for the contractors. It really is. Another thing is ISO ratings. I know the chief knows all about those. But ISO ratings for cities, towns, villages, counties come down when you have a building department. So your ISO rating affects your property insurance. So in other words, what you're paying for your home, you won't have an immediate decrease, but over 2 or 3 years, it'll start not increasing as much and maybe even decrease some once you have a building department established. And ISO gets wind of that, and sometimes that takes 2 or 3 years unless you call them. And there's a gentleman that goes around the state and comes in and gets a bunch of information. And once you have that, that brings your ISO ratings down, not on the fire side, that's different altogether, but on your regular side for your area. The Residential Code of Ohio is very, very practical. It has nothing that is outrageous, and basically, I tell everyone, even builders when they call me sometimes, the codes are minimum. That's the minimum you can do and be safe and sanitary, or whatever, with any trade, with electric, HVAC, plumbing. Sandusky County does the plumbing here, yeah. But we do the plumbing for Sandusky County Health Department. So the health department does the plumbing in Sandusky County, but then we have a contract not just with county for building commercial, but with the health department for the plumbing inspector. Plumbing, electric, HVAC, and then structural, it's very practical. The one thing that I often tell, you know, a lot of times this kind of meeting will have contractors in it with whatever, is that, I also, council wants to know this, chapter one of the code is very, very specific what a building department can and cannot do. And there's three things in here that really resonate with builders. And that is that it tells us not we may, but we shall have a liberal, will construe the code liberally. In other words, the code is like a recipe, but there's more than one way to make a chocolate cake. You can make it with two eggs, you can make it with vanilla and one egg, you know, or whatever, and you still have a good tasting chocolate cake. So while the code is prescriptive, which means that it is like a recipe, and while the code has tables and it has paragraphs, and it says you need to do this, 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 and this, It also says that that's one way to do it. So we're not going out there and saying, well, you know, that code says this, this, and this. You have to do it exactly this way. There are alternative ways, means, and methods that you can do it. And I'm talking residential only because commercial is a performance code. You know, you have a designer, an architect, engineer saying, if we do this, we get this. Whereas residential is prescriptive. It tells you, here's what you need to do to build a deck, to build an addition, to build whatever, a pole barn, a garage. And so it has that. But chapter one says that the building department has to liberally construe the code. And in these ways, they have to look at the economic feasibility, because in Clyde, you're mostly existing houses at this point, correct? And so they look at you and they say, here's your house. It's 50 years old. It's 30. It's 100, whatever. And it's not economic feasible for you to do this, this, and this to bring it up to the current codes. And so we have to look at the economic feasibility when we enforce it. All this happens on the plan review, by the way. It doesn't happen out in the field where we say, oh, no, you got to add this, add that, or whatever. The other thing it says is that we look at the technical feasibility. So in addition to saying, is it going to cost more than it's worth if we enforce this, we look at, is it even technically feasible when you have a 100-year-old house with a sandstone foundation, you know, to do this, that, or the other two. So the codes are not going to beat your people up. They're not going to run the cost up. You know, yes, they'll have to pay for the permit. That covers the inspections and the plan review and the occupancy and all that. But by the same token, it's for their safety, their welfare. And then, God forbid, they get a weekend warrior that doesn't know what he's doing, or and typically, it's someone, they don't do it on purpose. There are some bad apples out there. Every barrel has one that deliberately are cutting corners, whatever. But a lot of times, it's guys trying to make an extra buck on the weekend, teachers and firemen. Sorry, I had to throw that in for them. But yeah, they're trying to make an extra. Yeah, they try to make an extra buck during the summer or on the weekend. They haven't had the training, and they're not deliberately trying to, you know, screw the homeowner. Just they don't really know, and that's another reason that in the plan review, because what the code says is we inspect to the approved plans. So when the plans come in for like an addition or a deck or something like that, a new garage. We look at those and we say, no, you've got to add smoke detectors, or you got to do this or that, you know, whatever. And the plan review catches that. Then the inspector is looking at the approved plans and inspecting according to that. Now, of course, that's not a perfect calculation. There's times that the plans forgot that you had a beam here or something like that, you know. And so that's when the code knowledge comes in, you know, whatever. So it's not beating people up. It is protecting the end user, and it is protecting the contractor. A lot of contractors, and I don't know about in Clyde specific, but across the state, across the county even, have a lot of subs. You know, the contractors are basically, some of them are small enough, they're doing a lot themselves, but basically a lot of contractors are subbing out a lot of things. And they want someone looking at their subs, making sure they're doing it right, because if they get sued, they're going to be sued too as a GC, not just the electrician that did it wrong or whatever. So the power companies have now stopped re-energizing, unless, not 100% everywhere in Ohio, but probably 90%, unless it is inspected by electrical inspector, certified by the state. So I get a call a day minimum, like this last windstorm, multiple people, even in Sandusky County, called and said, hey, our power went out, a tree took out the meter, this happened, and whatever company you have over here won't re-energize without an inspection. And we have to sign a contract with every one of those homeowners, just a little simple one to cover our liability. And then we get them out there, do the inspection, we do the release to the power company, they get it turned on. So if you have a company, they're not paying but just a small fee for the permit and the inspection for that. And it's much less expensive than what they're paying us to do all the stuff for them, you know. So that's good for your constituents also. We use only certified personnel by the state of Ohio. That's not an option. A lot of people get hung up on the fact that our corporate office is in Colorado. but everybody here lives here, you know. So like my building official for this area lives in Grafton. I have inspectors that live in Vermilion and Amherst and other places around here, Port Clinton, whatever. So it's not people from out of town. It's local people. So that's kind of the way we work. As far as contractually, this isn't going to cost you a dime. This will go under the county building department, and it's just that the permits will have to be issued, you know, for your constituents, whatever. And I'll discuss that in a little more depth. But all the permit activity goes to Sandusky County, and then they pay us out of that. And so you're not having any cost at all to do this. Okay. You have the option to. You have the option to have a standalone department, residential and commercial. But if you did, you don't have enough revenue, enough activity to support it. So it'd be an hourly contract, and you know that'd be pretty expensive for you. So this way, just keeping it under the county like your commercial is, it's not going to cost you a dime to do it. It's just a matter that you have to adopt an ordinance, which, did I send you a sample ordinance? I thought I did. And you have to adopt a fee schedule. And then the Board of Building Standards, you have to apply to them, and we'll help with that. We don't charge for that. They'll get you approved and legit, legal. And then once it is, you've got to get the word out to your community. I don't know if you use social media, if you have newsletters. I don't know what you do. A lot of places we've done this, whether commercial or residential, the council people have a method, you know, that they use with their constituents in each ward, you know, or whatever, gets the word out that, hey, you've got to do this. Typically, in the fee schedule, there's a fee. This is statewide everywhere, not safe built everywhere, that if you work without a permit, it's like a double fee, that sort of thing. When a government agency, a jurisdiction, municipality is starting out, when there was no enforcement, we always recommend don't do that for at least a year. You know, let the people get one or two slaps on the wrist and say, hey, we know you're not used to this, but now you got to do this. Go ahead and stop, get in, get legal, and then go back to work. And with that, too, on stop work orders, we seldom issue those except if it's egregious or something like that. So you're out putting a roof on and inspector stops and says, or Justin stops, or he has somebody stop and say, you got to have a permit for that roof. We're not going to leave it exposed if the weather's coming in. We'll say, you know, get in the next day or two and get it. And, you know, so we're practical. We aren't looking for ways to say no. We're looking for ways to keep everybody safe and secure. So that's kind of the way it is. Now, how far are you time-wise from Fremont, from our office there?
10, 12, 15 minutes.
Okay. So your people would be, once again, say you happen to have space here and somebody's sitting here, they can all go to our permit tech. Actually, they're in Fremont and submit their, and 95% at least of everything is digital now. Very few people walk in with paper plans, even for a deck or anything small. It's about all digital, so they don't even have to drive to Fremont. But if they want to do paper plans and want to see a warm body, they can drive to the Fremont office on 5th Street there and submit them. And that way you don't have to have a permit tech on. They come in, get their zoning. They email it to us, which we would set you up with all that. We'd have a kickoff meeting. They email it to us. Then they get their approval, their permit. They pay online, you know, like you were talking earlier with the chief. They can pay online. And it's all good to go. But there again, if you get someone that for some reason wants paper plans and wants to pay in person cash, Fremont's 15 minutes away. So, and that's kind of a short summation, and I'm sure I didn't answer all your questions, but it's a starting point for you. So,
question.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with this one. The fee schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take hypothetically, I want to build a 10 by 10 deck. Now, naturally, living in this town, you just build it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you're going to have to go through and have somebody design it?
Nope. Here's the only time you have to have professional design, if it's commercial or if it exceeds the scope of the code. And in Ohio, it is rare, except when you're talking big mansions or muck mansions, it's rare to exceed the scope of the code. So in other words, if you put in a basement under an addition, if it's 10 foot tall, that exceeds the scope of the code. And but even then, we don't typically require a seal. We look at it. If we know it'll work, we approve it. But if they're doing something really wonky, then we say you've got to have an engineer look at that. That is rare, except in the, I started to say, the Indians. I was with Medina County 13 years, and a lot of the Indians at that time, players, built McMansions in Medina County. And most of those had 10-foot, some of them even had basketball courts and things or golf things in the basement, shooting range or two, but they had 10, 12-foot basements. Those all had to be designed because the house sitting on them, number one, it's about the loads working on it on the outside, but also it was the three-story houses on top. But I would say the odds of you ever needing a designer for residential is about zero. It has to exceed the scope. So as long as they know what they're doing, it can be...
Who knows what they're doing?
Whoever's submitting.
Okay.
So in other words, I'm bad on names. I'm sorry, you were...
Doug.
Okay, so Doug, in other words, you can... Today we have this famous thing called Google, and you can look up and say, what size post do I need, or what this do I need, whatever. Or you can look up the code online. And you can come in and draw, and as long as it's legible, and we can tell what you're doing... it doesn't even have to be to scale. It needs to be, show us that it's, and the measurements have to be on there. It's 10 foot. The posts are going down 38 inches or 36 or whatever. We're putting some concrete under it. They're 4x4. The beam is this, the beam is that, the floor joists are this. And you just draw in a simple sketch and you label that you're using 2x8s, 2x10s, 2x6, whatever, 4x4s. You label it all. Then the plans examiner looks at that. And he says, I'm really sorry, but this is a two-story deck, and you need 4x6 posts, you know, or something like that. And he'll redline it for you. You can't do that on commercial, but on residential, you can. We can't design it for you, but we can say, no, this requires this, whatever. But you can do it. Your 10-year-old grandson can do it. We don't care who does it. It's just we need to see what you're doing so we can do the plan review.
So somebody doing that, they're going to have to be up to speed on what code is. If they're going to be designing their own deck, they're going to be designing their own porch, they're going to be designing their own gazebo, they're going to have to...
Okay, let me tell you where the rubber meets the road, what's really going to happen.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. I'd say 90%, and statistics are arbitrary, but I'd say 90% of people today go to Home Depot or Lowe's or some local lumber company. They say, I want to build a deck. And they say, we have a CAD program, want us to draw it for you? Sure, do that. And most of the plans come in are drawn by a program on a computer and where you're buying the material, so it typically doesn't cost you a dime. If you're buying the material at Home Depot, they'll draw it for you. Same with Lowe's and Carter and 84 or whoever's out here. And even the private companies will do that. So it's rare that we see a homeowner actually sketching it out. And typically, if they are, they used to do building somewhere, or they've done projects before, and they pretty well know the codes. Yeah. Right. So.
Next question is on fees. Explain your fee schedule for any kind of permitting.
Okay. The correction first is that we don't have a fee schedule. You have to, by council, adopt a fee schedule. And I sent you a sample one, but that is not proprietary. And if you wanted to charge $10 a permit, I don't think Sandusky County would be happy because it's costing them more than that to service it. But the point is, we cannot set fees. That has to be by council.
Right.
The fee schedule I sent him is one that is used all across Northeast Ohio and Northwest Ohio. And it's kind of a run of the mill. It's not the highest, not the lowest. But what we can do, if you all decide to go ahead with this, and you want me to come back, we can sit down with that. He can have a copy, paper copy for everybody out there. And we can go line item by line item. You can say, why is this fee this? Why is this that? Let's change it from $100 to $75. Or no, let's change it from $75 to $125. I mean, whatever. But that fee schedule is a working document. It's simply a sample. And you can set whatever you want.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'll send those, I'll forward it along.
Yeah.
Here after the meeting.
What has the permit pace been like when submitting things in Fremont? Has there been a backlog from your perspective? How fast is the permitting been?
Very fast. So by contract on residential, it's 3 to 5 day turnaround.
Okay.
Okay. That's even on new house.
We don't have any residential in Sandusky County, right?
No, not yet. But that's standard across the company, 3 to 5 days. Commercial, what you're doing right now is you should be seeing 10 days, business days, for projects under 2 million. And then I forget if they're 14 days or 20, because we do both depending. This contract's old enough, it may be 14 days, but it could be 20 for projects over 2 million on commercial. And we try to always keep that. But on residential, it's 3 to 5 days. Someone comes in with the deck, they can be building, you know, within a week.
So we're talking residential here only?
Yeah, residential only. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
And inspections, let me go ahead and cover these two. If you call Doug for an inspection by 4 o'clock or 3:30, I'm not sure what the cutoff is here. It varies by community. Let's say 3:30. You get it the next day. So that's guaranteed always. So.
Have we utilized Safe Belt or anything on building next to Wild Proof?
Yeah, no, they've been part since the beginning.
Okay. And no hiccups, any trips or anything?
No, the only thing when we had called over, they're like, we're waiting on the architect, you know, when they kick plans back and forth like that. But it wasn't like a Safe Belt issue that we know, no.
The one thing it raises my awareness is when you say the sort of the liberal interpretation of the code.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it really, really wide open, the word liberal interpretation.
Okay.
On it. So define that for me.
Okay, good question, good call. So liberal interpretation, we all know Barney Fye with the one bullet in his thing. And you can get inspectors across America and across Ohio that are Barney Fye.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out and they've got to find something wrong to justify their existence. And so they are looking for a way to fail you. And this stops that. This says you can't nickel and dime it. You know, you can't say you're missing one nail there and you should have three nails there. You know, and you can't do it to John's code. It has to be to the residential code. So the liberal interpretation is further defined by what I said up front about technical feasibility and about economic feasibility. This is very, very important where there's existing buildings. And so in most of your housing stock here in town are existing. You're not building a bunch of new ones. If you are, pretty easy for them on the plan review to say you got to do this, this, and this. This is code. Let's give you an example. Guardrails. A lot of older homes, they're maybe 24, 30 inches. When the new code, they've got to be 36. So if you're remodeling this second floor and you're not touching the guardrail, we can't say, oh, no, that's only 24 inches. Someone's going to fall and die. You've got to have it raise it to 36. Smoke detectors. If you're touching the bedroom area, you have to have one in each bedroom and one in the hallway within roughly 12 feet. It just says in the immediate vicinity outside the bedrooms. So if you have a long hall in a bigger house, you might have two in the hall. But what the code says is that smokes are to be hardwired and interconnected. However, back to the liberal interpretation, if that means that you don't have an attic above that you can go in and hardwire them without doing a bunch of destructive stuff, we can't make you hardwire them. They can be battery op, or they can be you know, on some kind of a Wi-Fi system, that sort of thing. So that's the kind of thing. Here's another perfect example. You've got a house and your stairway is really bad. And I've seen this across here so many times. Your stairway is really, really bad. And the riser height is 9 inches, okay? It's a steep stairway. We can't make you lower that to the current standards because it's going to lengthen it, and then you can't do it in the existing house. So again, that's a liberal interpretation. We look at it and we say, well, you know, you've only got X amount of run, and you have to stay at 9 inches, even though it's a brand new stairway. So That's a kind of liberal interpretation. It's just being practical. Yeah.
How much mandating?
Yeah, no, it's
you're gonna have.
It's and the final call is typically the building official. So if the inspector comes out and says to you, you got to do this, this, and this, all you have to do is pick up the phone, call the building official, and say, hey, your inspector was out here, and he said, I had to do this. Could you explain it or maybe talk to me about it, come out and look at it? And that's where he comes out, makes a judgment call, and says, no, I agree, you really have to do that, or no, I agree with you, that would not be economically or technically feasible. But that isn't used a lot. It's just more in cases like I just said, where you have a new stairway, but there's not room to make it, you know, code compliant on the riser height. You know, so it's guardrails, things like that, because it gives a lot of inspectors heartburn to walk in and see guardrails that are, you know, the older houses, especially sometimes 24 to 28 inches, but they cannot make you change them. Now, if you tear them out, you've got to put in new to code, but if you're not, so it's that kind of stuff.
Your grandfather.
Yeah.
Said.
Yeah.
Okay. And the whole fee structure, of course, there's fee, application fee to have it looked at and all that. Each time it's inspected, is there a fee for inspection?
No, you pay for the permit that covers everything. Okay. The only time that's not totally true is, and in Ohio with Safebuilt, and we're in about 100 communities, I don't know anywhere we do it except two or three jurisdictions that they demand we do it. There's a reinspection fee if you got turned down. But that is up to you to say you want that charged or not. It's probably in that fee schedule because a lot of people want it in just in case they're getting kind of jerked around or something. Then they'll say, you know what, we've been out here five times. You're never worried. You've got to pay a reinspection fee. But other than a case like that, the permit fee up front, it's $100 and it takes three inspections. We're going in the hole on that. But by the same token, it is what it is, and you do not pay extra. The permit covers the plan review. It covers the inspections, the certificate of occupancy. Our completion. Hi.
I'll open up for other questions. I've been rambling.
My biggest thing was the time of inspection.
Yeah.
Because that's important. My dad was a contractor in Ottawa County, and that held him up on numerous.
Yeah. Well, we, like I said, we guarantee next day. One thing I wanted to mention with the chief sitting here, because I know some things have been happening in the background, but when you adopt the Residential Code of Ohio and when you have a building department residentially, it also enables the building official, especially in conjunction with the mayor's complaint or Justin or the fire chief, often from fire, to look at section 109, which is unsafe buildings. And we can now, as with the building department, we can now address that and cause them to either fix it or demolish it. The word is raise in the code, but you have to give them the option to, you know, unless it's falling down and really a serious hazard.
We have some condemned nuisance in our code already.
Okay, you have that already? Okay.
When we created the building, now it would be good to reevaluate what that looks like with this as well.
So,
but yes, when we did the building department to get back to the commercial, we actually then started implementing some of our own condemnation because the residential wasn't coming. So we got something, but we've had enough years that it's time to, you know, look at it again, cycle through, see what some other.
But that is in there, and just so you know. So
yes, it will be helpful.
And that gives you actually more leverage in court if it goes to court, because now it's not just your local ordinance, even though that's enforceable. Yep. Now it's also the state code.
And we've got all the due process in ours. But we've got like a multi-person sign-off and appeals part. Yeah, but
the adjudication language and all that.
Yeah, so it'd be nice, though, to have another
third
party, so to speak, to.
And with the residential code, if you get the department, everything is appealable, but you're wasting your time if it's black and white and egress window needs to be this. Everything can be adjudicated and appealed. So if they feel that, you know, the building department is being unreasonable on the plan review and what they require, they have the right to appeal that. Now, commercial appeals go to Ashland for here. But residential, you typically have your own appeals. Do you have a BZA here?
Which I think it was.
Okay, the BZA typically does that. So it's not strangers listening to the appeal. So if there is an appeal, you know, it would go to your BZA, and they would do that. But back to the egress windows. There's a perfect one. There's times they're if they're remodeling an existing house and they're putting new windows in, all they have to do is fit that opening. We can't make them bring it up to size if it's a little small or whatever. If they're building an addition on, and I can't think of a single reason, but if there's a reason they couldn't quite get the window, you know, that's something that could be a judgment call or it could be appealed, you know. So, but on life safety, back to your question, Doug, about liberal interpretation, that's never about life safety. That's about things that nothing's going to happen if you give a little here or there.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I'll go on to another question that just came up then. Commercial buildings that are also residential.
They're treated commercially.
So,
in, as commercial?
Well,
here's
go ahead, John. Yeah, I'm sorry, Justin. That's not negotiable with the state.
Yeah, it's
one, commercial. Two, and three family under one roof is residential. Mm-hmm. Anything over three family is commercial.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have some triplexes in town, you can't touch them with commercial if they're under one roof or duplexes. But if you have a code, residential building department, that would cover the one family, the two family, and the three family. Then four family goes to commercial.
And you're kind of alluding like these downtown buildings.
Yes.
First thing that pops into my mind. Yeah, so we treat them all. I mean, top to bottom is commercial.
Well, that's different because it's in a commercial building.
Yes, it's all
that
commercial.
Is a commercial use.
Every bit, top to bottom, should be
going to commercial. It qualifies commercial.
Yeah. I'm not talking where you've got a mixed use hardware store with some living on top. I'm not talking that. I'm talking where it is only residential, like apartments. Mm-hmm. One, two, and three is under the residential department. Four and above is under the commercial.
Yeah.
Okay. But no, if it's the drugstore or the hardware store and they've got an apartment above, that's strictly commercial.
Yes.
Yeah, mixed use. Totally right, Justin. Yeah.
Yes. And that's what we tap in over here, the Railroad Street property. Right. Paul, you went in. I mean, we found it didn't have a certificate of occupancy. They went in and no commercial plans. All right, so it's...
Paul, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
Fire chief. Is this needed throughout our community?
Well, I think it'd definitely be good.
Okay.
I mean, I've got a few questions that come to mind that I think the folks will ask. So the do-it-yourselfer, they're still allowed to roll as long as plans and inspection.
Yes and no.
Okay,
short answer, yes. Big answer is if it's their primary residence.
Okay, yep, that's what
I'm talking about.
And then walk us through the sale of a home, say. I mean, are you guys getting drug in, like, by the realtor to give a sign off on, is this home up to code?
Only if you have a point of sale inspection, which you would have to adopt that by ordinance. That's not through the building codes, as far as that's not required. That is a whole separate thing that you can have. So, like, there's quite a few cities in the Cleveland area that have point of sale. And Doug goes to sell his house, and he has to come in and get a permit. And it's usually like 100, 150, depending on the jurisdiction. And then an inspector goes out and walks through, and he says, nope, you got to paint this, got to put new gutters on, you got to redo the driveway, you got to redo, it covers everything. Concrete walks, everything. I don't know if they're all broke up, replaced this, this, and this block, and that's a whole different animal, okay? So if you do not have that, which most of the state doesn't, and most of the country doesn't, if you do not have that, then what happens is you are selling your home, Doug is buying it, and Doug as a buyer tells the realtor, I want an inspection, and you get an inspection company, not us. You get a home inspector.
Yep,
and yeah, they go out and do that. That has nothing to do with the building department.
Okay.
So, and frankly, I'm going to say, I don't think you want point of sale. They're a headache. You have to have escrow accounts.
You're not
going to sell
a lot of homes.
Yeah, they, I'm against them on principle, I really am, but yeah.
So if someone else is remodeling your home, what kind of, what trades, I guess, need certificates or license?
Okay, so I hadn't gone there yet, but I was gonna go that route, is you really need to register your contractors. That's an annual registration, January, December, usually calendar year. Sandusky County registers commercial contractors. And what they have to provide, it depends on the way the ordinance or what the county resolution is written. But typically, they have to provide like a workman's comp certificate and a liability insurance or a bond, depending on the jurisdiction. And that is not under Sandusky County for this, that'd be you making those rules. So if you say we want them registered, they would still register through the department over there, unless you wanted to keep that with someone in-house, the clerk of courts or zoning official or whatever. But you set those rules what you want. Do you want a bond, you know, in favor of the city, that if this contractor rips off this homeowner, you can get the bond to do the job right? Or do you want them just to have a big amount of liability insurance? It's totally up to the jurisdiction.
And council, if they chose, could even go as far as state licensings for, let's just say,
okay,
electrical.
Yeah. So if you call the state licensing bureau, okay, OCLIB, they will tell you that for residential, by state law, they don't have to be licensed to do the work for residential. But I'm going to guess 98, 99% of all jurisdictions that have registration for contractors require the electric, the plumbing, and the HVAC to be licensed by the state. Not building, because the state doesn't have any license for builders. You can build a mansion or whatever, no license.
Forever.
But the sub, yeah. Yeah.
Even in commercial. No,
yeah, but the sub trades typically have to be licensed. So if you come in and you're going to get registered here to build a deck, you know, one registration covers the whole year, whatever. You're going to get registered to build a deck. You typically have a copy of, you know, your insurances, whatever you want, or bond. And then if you're going to do wiring, you're going to rewire the house or put in a new service or new panel, whatever, you have to have your license also. And so that really runs pretty smooth once it's up and running. And you don't have to do it here. I'm just saying you can, but most of that, it's just easier to have Sandusky County Building Department do it for you, you know? So.
Especially yeah. If that's where the permits are going.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to find out how restrictive this is, wrap my brain around this for the do it yourselfers who are fairly competent.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothetically, let's say that a water meter goes or a water heater goes out. Am I going to permit that? Am I going to have that license?
Okay. No.
Okay.
Homeowners.
I want to know
what
the scope of this.
Yeah.
How far does this go?
Right.
Yeah.
I was
okay.
Saying,
homeowners never have to have a license to work in their own home.
Okay.
Never.
Okay.
And they don't have to be registered as a contractor to work in their own home.
Okay.
Okay. Do they need a permit for a water heater? Yes. Because if it's electric, we're making sure it's wired right. They're not going to get electrocuted. If it's gas, we're going to make sure it's vented right and that the gas piping has a dirt leg on it and everything's done right. And once again, in your fee schedule, those are maybe $75, $100, whatever, but that's up to you what fee you charge for that. You want it to cover the cost of an inspection, you know, and the paperwork, the admin time. But yes, to do. Now, there again, the code says, in Chapter 1, there's an emergency measure. If your water heater goes out on Friday night or your furnace in the middle of a blizzard, you go ahead and get that thing replaced, whether you do it yourself or hire a contractor. And then they have till the next business day or two to come in and say, hey, we had an emergency over the weekend. We had to put in a water heater. We had to put in a furnace. We had to put in AC, whatever. The meter blew. We had to do that. And they can get the permit after the fact and the inspection after the fact. So it's very practical. It allows for that. But homeowners, once again, if it's their primary residence, they can do the whole thing if they know what they're doing, and a lot of them do. If for no other reason, they can look at YouTube and find out how to do it and save a lot of money. So yeah, they're allowed.
I mean, there's probably still a lot of homeowners that do this
We don't even know and it never gets inspected.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like anything, I mean, unless I'm driving by, seeing you hauling your water heater in, going, oh, Mr. McCauley, I'm coming for you. You know, we would never even know, right? Right, you know.
I do all my stuff myself.
I do too.
Well, that's what I mean.
I don't, but.
Partly it's like, some of it is the protection for you, if you just don't like it, but, you know, if you're skipping it and it's that stuff, I don't know that we're ever going to know, or come and find out and find you 7 years later or something that you.
I want to know, I'm just trying to get at how restrictive it is.
Right.
Because if this is going to be a go, this is a huge cerebral change for the culture of this city, okay? So they're probably going to wrap their heads around more restrictions, okay?
Time. So, more fees.
And more fees.
More fees,
yes.
That's the killer.
And more being told what to do with their own property. So.
It has come up through the years.
Mm-hmm.
This might be about the third iteration or discussion on it.
How's that been received in the past?
Well, we don't have it yet.
I'm just looking for next race.
I don't know. I mean, how were we ever going to roll it out ourselves all that time ago either was always the thing. Like, you did not have Safe Built in the county that is really, you know, you've got proximity now to permitting. Before, it was like, who was even going to do it? How are we even going to roll it out? If it wasn't from the county level, you know, we didn't know how to even implement it.
Would this be received? Let's take, for example, from some of our established local contractors. Okay, like M&M Electric. Okay. Guild Electric. How's this?
They're already commercial.
They're already
licensed
there, but what do you perceive their opinions of this? Maybe for it, against it?
I think the licensed guys will be for it.
Okay.
All the licensed
Jeff,
developers,
yes.
You know.
Jeff, and Anstens.
Sure.
We know Anstens.
It'd probably actually be better for their business because it would kind of weed out the.
Well, yeah, the fly-by-nighters.
Yeah, it would weed out some of the competition. Yeah, Clyde's got a lot of handymen. I see them a lot at the hardware store.
Yeah, I just from a realistic perspective, and just because you implement new law doesn't mean it's like all of a sudden everything just drastically changed. This is phased in years of getting a cultural shift.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we absolutely know there will be people skirting the process, working on like, that's what we do now. It's Jared's entire job is going around going like, no, no, why are you doing that? You know, so I have no illusions. It just rolls out and we start fixing everything and everyone gets immediately punished, but I mean, it's going to phase in time, but yeah, I think the good people that actually want it, which is where those are the people that call and complain that I got screwed over by a guy. What can I do? I'm like, well, I have nothing to offer them right now. I mean, this to me starts with the offering phase of, hey, we've got a list of registered contractors. Someone can do an inspection. If you're willing to spend a few thousand on your project and hire somebody, going to be an inspection now to protect you, and you know, you've got this mechanism in place. But phasing in, we're going from the Wild West to regulation.
Do we require registered contractors?
No, yet? Right now we've got nothing.
So, but this can lay the groundwork for that implementation.
Yeah, as we get into registering, I mean, even rentals and things, we've got weird stuff that's happening with rentals. I mean, you're going to get more registration just because. You know, we don't even care so much about the oversight until the problems come up, and then we have nothing in place to help people when they call and complain, and then they just tell us we're stupid idiots who don't care. Like, well, you know, the best part is at least to start with, I have a tool, and then, yeah, people are absolutely going to work around it, pretend it doesn't exist, fly under the radar. But those are also the people that, I mean, take all the risk and things. Code enforcement stuff, we obviously ramped up. We've seen Steve Finley's backyard building unregulated sheds and setting on fire and has no insurance. I mean, you know, I don't, crazy stuff's going to happen whether we have this in place regardless. But yeah, putting tools in the toolbox, but you know, I don't think we want it so punitive that it's, you know, preventative, but I think it will, if anything, I mean, it's going to step up quality over time. But you've got years of phasing this in my opinion. I mean, it'll start, good people will be happy about it. Bad actors will still be trying to do what they do. You know, and just like we've been cracking more down on the downtown buildings because of issues, I mean, it's already starting, and really no one's been able to find good workarounds. You know, we're just holding the standard, raising the bar little by little, but cultural shift will be in years.
He said another word there, sheds. The code does not require a permit or inspection for a shed under 200 square foot. So basically at 10 by 20, you start needing a permit, but your zoning officer can require a permit. A zoning permit, say it has to be 5 foot from property line or whatever. But building code does not cover sheds under 200 square foot. So people getting sheds are not going to be, you know, because most sheds are 10 by 12, 12 by 16, whatever, 8 by 10. Those don't require building permits.
And I kind of mentioned even the sheds because we're finding people living.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure where you're coming from is people converting a lot of this stuff into accessory dwelling units and having ADUs.
Airbnb in a shed.
Yeah. It's already happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's already a raft of violations here everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, but then no tools when somebody's grandma shows up going, the guy didn't put my roof on right and I can't find him. Like, you know, I didn't know who to hire. I don't have a list to give them. You know, I tell them and they're obviously an expensive person or something, but I don't know how to fix it and make it better. You know, we have no tools now.
Another thing with contractors being registered, she can come in and say, we're wanting to do a water heater, we're wanting to build a deck, an addition, whatever. Do you have a list to raise your contractors? And you can't legally recommend someone, but you can say, here's the list, here's 50 people, you know, that are registered. And then you tell them, or your zoning official would tell them whatever, say, by the way, this is not a recommendation. Just because they're registered doesn't mean they're the best. It's just that they are at least registered. They're legal. Yeah.
Well, they have insurance.
Yeah, and they have insurance. They have.
They're willing to go through inspection.
They're bonded. If you require a bond, you know, they're whatever. And so that's a starting point for them. Most residents, and this is a sad thing, I have seen this so many times, starting in 98, I saw it one of my first months on the job, is around the state, contractors in their contract, they put in this big fee to cover permits and inspections, even if there are no permits or inspections. Not all of them. Not good ones, but that happens everywhere. And I'd almost be willing to shake hands on a bet with every one of you if you had the ability, which you don't, to look at contracts here in the last 5-10 years, you'd find a lot of them charge them for permits and inspections.
We've seen when they do demo permits.
Yeah.
In Lanham, we've seen some people charge the demo permit fee. We don't have one.
Yeah.
We didn't at the time.
Just pocketing it.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, charging an extra $500 for a demo permit fee when ours was zero.
I think it definitely takes education. I mean, yeah. I think like what you said, I don't think people are trying to skirt the system.
No.
I mean, I'm doing umpteen remodels to my house right now. I don't know what I need a permit for.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean,
I think it's just getting
this
lined up in place so the mechanism mm-hmm. exists. You know, and it's going to take a while for people to even just get the word out. We can educate all day. We know that that's just... It takes years.
Mm-hmm.
It takes years to phase it in. And just being realistic, especially coming from the we can do anything we want with our property mentality, you know, it's going to take time. That's not meant. I don't want it as a punitive thing for people. I just want the ability to protect themselves and have some inspection on it, which we don't have for them. You know, they don't know where to go. They turn to us. I mean, we get called to find out where the courthouse is, where the person that took my money and how come I didn't do anything about it? Like, who are we even talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, at least I could give you a list of registered contractors who are insured and seemingly willing to be inspected. You know, if you don't choose to use that list, that's on you, but we give you options. And like I said, I don't see it. I mean, it'll be used. You're good developers and people that we are fine with anyway. We've all advocated for this in some fashion.
Yeah, there's still big developers though that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, but you know, you look at this from
spray painted on the side.
Oh no! Look at Fremont. Look at the new builds in Fremont.
Yeah.
not to say his name, you know, I mean, Wanicki built a lot of stuff here that probably wouldn't pass. I mean, even the roads, all right, the roads, the other, I mean, half the stuff, none of it was inspected.
It's not so much what's happening today or tomorrow. It's looking down the road, looking at each
trying to protect them all.
Where do you want to get to? Where do you see the city in that portion of it? And what are those things you can do now, even if it's just registrations, electrical, plumbing? It gives you something to start with, right? And you can modify it as you go.
Yeah, and the county's big push is also on this housing and trying to get more housing. We had that housing survey that said we're like thousands of units behind. So, I mean, in the potential for some people to start showing up, and we don't have any regulations other than zoning. What are you getting? Okay, it's zoned properly, but it's built like shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have anything in this town, so. I'm not saying that's what happened.
I think we're on the cusp of building many, many homes in the foreseeable future around the area.
Ottawa County's had it for how many years? I mean, Dad was a contractor in Ottawa County, and he gets mad because he, around here, fixes stuff. He's like, I don't know how they even get away with that. Because, you know, and so the contractors from that standpoint, they're fine with it because what happens to Sandusky County right now is people don't want to build in Ottawa County because they have to go through these procedures. So let's go to Sandusky County. They don't have any.
And you end up with exactly what you thought you were going to get. Mm-hmm. Cheap stuff that's broken early. It's going to show up in, I mean, some of the even condemned houses that we're trying to force people to rehab. Okay. They got it fixed. It's all right. I mean, what?
But we're still not stopping that do-it-yourselfer.
Yeah. We can at least, with the ones we know about, go, oh, guess what? You're
glad I'm putting my own siding on, huh?
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, you're in the permit process.
But here again, let me ask you a question. If you're doing it yourself, which I'm a do-it-yourselfer too, I used to build homes, so
right.
I know what I'm doing, but I enjoy it. So I do it for my kids. I have five kids,
yeah.
All adults, of course, and Dad, I need a new water heater, Dad, I need a new deck, Dad, I need whatever. I do it all for
them. That's me.
But here's the point. Wouldn't you rather know that you did it right, especially if it's electric plumbing? Or plumbing is something that gets so screwed up by people because of venting and all kinds of stuff, you know? But wouldn't you rather have someone look at you and say, you did a good job, it all meets code, here's your green tag, you know? That gives you some peace of mind. You're not laying there at night wondering, yeah, what if something happens? Or what if I sell the house and then it goes bad and they sue me 20 years later? They can't.
Well, in the long-term hope also, you said, like, it does help to even be certified. Work done could lower or help with your insurance rating.
Yeah, the ISO ratings go down, yeah. So I would say that the majority, to answer your question, I think, Doug, the majority of builders that are legit are used to anywhere else they work about, not in this immediate area, but they go over to Port Clinton or Oak Harbor or somewhere like that. They're used to oversight and enforcement, and it gives them a level of comfort. It levels the playing field, like for her dad, whatever, that everybody's getting permits or they're supposed to. And then homeowners, until it happens to them, they may not care. But once they have it go south on them because they had someone that wasn't licensed, registered, whatever, didn't have inspections, once that happens, they're going to be crying for it, you know, so.
Well, that brings up to this point. We have a group that likes to flip homes. They'll come in and they'll take this dilapidated thing and it will look dilapidated for a decade. And are they going to be under the same inspection? Okay. So that's what I'm hoping, that something like this can start to restrict.
Yeah.
And
because people eventually
really
have to live in these places.
Yeah, and we have to catch them because flippers, there are some that are 100% by the book. They get it all up front. But as a group, flippers are some of the worst to go in and just make it look pretty. And then you go in and you've got nothing but trouble.
Yeah.
And that's across the state and the nation. Yes. Yeah.
And when you have cheap stuff, that is more the target for sure, is the people we know. I mean, there's houses that you're like, that's clearly under renovation entirely. It was junk and now it's stripped. You know, the analogy is my developer friend who was building at the same time as Wernicke, who said, well, I guess we're just not going to have to build in town because we can't compete with this guy. There's no inspection. There's no regulation. He's like, I'm building like this with everything and he's cheaping it. I'll never compete. So you lost a guy that was willing to build good quality stuff. They had completely left town and left us with the cheap people building stuff that we've had to deal with later. So, you know, it seems like counterintuitive in a way that you add these systems that they actually bring the bar up. But the same as police having body cams were terrified of how it was going to go. Now we're like, I don't go on anywhere without my body cam because it saves me. You know, so having that, you know, the goal being to bring up the bar, it just seems like it doesn't work that way, but you're really running out better people who can't compete with the cheap stuff. Right? So if you want to get good people back, you gotta run out the cheap stuff and get the better people back. And start to bring the bar up. Or continue to manage some form of housing decline.
Any more questions? Any input?
Can you say even some of this we can like adopt this? You could always add some of the optional later or something.
Yeah, so when you adopt the code, you have to enforce the entire code.
Right.
But like I said, re-roofs, windows, siding, sidewalks, driveways, those things are options. Very few people don't enforce them because those are, you know, something that if the siding's fallen off, and it does, especially in two stories where they don't pull it up right and then the wind catches it, you know, whatever. But those things you could decide not to enforce right now and decide a year from now, 2 years, yeah, we're going to enforce that. You get new windows, you're getting a permit. But anything that the code covers, you do have to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I thought, just wanted to make sure we had it all on record.
Yeah.
Play it back later for reference.
Okay. Anything else?
My one last thing, Doug, would be if I may, if you would adopt this and get certified by the state and go forward with it, I'm willing to come in some Saturday, whatever, provide some coffee and donuts or snacks, whatever, to meet with the general public, builders, homeowners, do-it-yourselfers, whatever, if you want that. To kind of answer their questions, whatever, you know. And I've done that multiple times across the years. We don't charge for it, just service we offer. That if that would help and benefit, and if you think people would turn out, you know. So, okay.
Anything else? Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Roll call. You don't need it? Okay. We are now adjourned.
Thank you all
for
having us in.
Thanks, John.
Yep.
Very informative.